Welcome back to Dental Unfiltered. I'm Matthew Brown. This is Dr. Andrew Vallow. I'm going to start the show off today by kicking it off to Andrew and let him kind of open up how he wants. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey guys, good morning, good afternoon, or good night, depending on when you're listening. I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who's been listening and supporting our podcast. You know, Matt and I just, we're newer to this venture, but at this point in time, we have recorded, over 10 podcast episodes. We're really enjoying the process. We hope that you guys are getting a lot out of our episodes here. We are doing our best to bring you guys actionable content on every single episode. As we've mentioned before, the show has no sponsors. We're not selling any products. You know, I'm trying to pass on things that I've learned as I've opened, four dental startups here. If you are enjoying the show, the best way that you can support us and help out is take a moment, leave us a review on whichever listening platform that you are on, and tell your friends about it. Other peeps in the dental world. Share the show with them. We've really enjoyed the feedback we've gotten from you guys so far. It means a lot, and we're excited to continue growing the podcast here. So,
all right, awesome. Today's subject, guys, is kind of like how to navigate financing tools, how to have them properly in your practice. Me and Andrew believe in having three financing tools, and the question always becomes like, which app do you do first? How do you navigate these things? And what I find is in the dental practice, the way financing is handled is, hey, here's your extremely large value treatment plan. Okay, here's a brochure and a credit app. Go home, let us know if you want to finance. When I say that's ineffective, that's like not having financing at all. If we take this from a consumer behavioral point of view, guys, and this is a subject that I'm very involved in, is how financing is deployed in practices. I would almost say I'm a subject matter expert in this exact area. I'm pretty good at it. And from a consumer point of view, 90% of Americans are payment buyers. And when we say, hey, take your credit app and go home, we know these patients are never going to come back anyway. And we're just asking for them to not fill out the credit app. So, one thing that I think is a really good indicator of how healthy is your staff offering credit apps, like what is the health of how often this is being offered, is go through once a month and count all the credit apps you do. And see if you're doing two or three, or if you're doing 20. And honestly, if you have a very good high flow of new patients coming to practice and need work, you should be doing a lot of credit apps. Because if the preferred buying behavior in the United States is 90% of Americans are payment buyers, if you're not doing this properly, you're not offering the mode of purchase for 90% of the buying habits. So Andrew, how do you guys address this in your practice? Because I think you're right alongside same view of this with me.
Yeah, man, this can be a great episode all about lowering barriers for patients. So right now as we're recording, it's just after 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't see patients on Fridays, so I've got my associate doc at the office. I've already seen notifications for three or four financing applications come through from our practice this morning. So if that tells you guys anything, financing is a really, really powerful tool to help gain treatment acceptance at your office. Even for the patients who have money to pay for their treatment, a lot of times they don't want to take out that large amount.
Oh, no.
They don't want to put it on their credit card. I mean, me personally, there's times where I would say almost any time, if it's a decent rate, I would rather finance it than pay that money. Like that's just my personal thing. I think cash is king. I'm all about liquidity. I'm not fearful of debt like Dave Ramsey. In my mind, debt's a tool as well. But
I think debt is the tool.
That's just showing you, the mindset of a multi-practice owner dentist. Could I buy these things I'm financing outright? Typically, most things, yeah, no problem. Do I want to take the money out of my account if I don't have to? Not really. And if the interest rate's decent, then I'm probably going to do it. So my point is, there's some financing options that offer your patients great interest rates, and even your well-off patients may be more apt to move forward with treatment if that's an option available to them. So think about that, guys. Financing is not just for those who can't afford something right now. It's also for those that don't want to spend all that money. If I have a zero interest, I'll tell you what, like when I'm buying dental equipment, if I have a zero interest financing option available, I'm more likely to buy it from that vendor versus another vendor that's not offering that. So just kind of keep that in perspective, guys. But there's also those patients who straight up can't afford it. They don't have the money to pay for this right now. and financing can be a great option for them. And the cool thing is now there's some great subprime lenders in the dental space. So even those patients who have had issues in the past with their credit, oftentimes we can get them approved for, you know, at least a portion of their treatment to kind of get started. So if you're not offering financing options, you need to start immediately. If you're not actually offering these, if you have financing options, but your team is not offering them to most patients, you need to start. We let every single patient know when we're presenting treatment that we have financing options available.
Yeah.
Because so, you can't guess who will and will not need or want them. Everybody should be made aware. We've got financing options monthly. And oftentimes we'll use a care credit calculator to give them a ballpark estimate of what their monthly payment can be based on their treatment plan. Based on your treatment plan, if you'd like to finance your financing or your monthly payments, could be in the range of like, you know, $200 a month. And a lot of times people hear that and they're like, oh my God, that's not bad at all. I could totally do that. So, or maybe they say, oh man, like that's a little more than I could do. And then, hey, no problem. We've got options with longer lines of credit. What if we could get you down to $120 a month? Would that work better? So yeah.
Let's bring in like a simple section for docs. So I deal with this part of coaching. I deal with like literally five times a day. And I'll say to a doc, you guys offer financing. And they'll say, oh yeah, we offer financing. Everyone does. I'll say, what does offering financing mean to you? Can you explain that to me? Let's talk about just the act of offering financing, all right? Like I said, most of the time it's here's a credit app or here's a brochure or just saying we offer financing. And a lot of times they're picking and choosing when they're saying this. I want to put this in a very simple analogy. If you went to a store and they had cash, credit, or charge, or you know, cash, credit, or like a loan option, right? And they said just cash. And they never offered the other two modes, you wouldn't use them, right? Whenever there's a scenario where we're collecting money from the patient, we need to show them if it's a certain dollar value, you know, if it's $50, doesn't matter. But if we're talking about a couple thousand dollars or more, we need to show them an example of monthly payment and that it's available. Like, this isn't like a just big case thing. This isn't just a new patient thing. You have a patient that's been with you for 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden they need two crowns, and two crowns is $2,600 after everything. Yeah, it's your treatment plan is $2,600 out of pocket or whatever the scenario might be. An example of monthly payment might be $60 a month for 24 months or $60 a month for 36 months or something, right? If 90% of Americans are payment buyers, the act of offering it, like you said, is showing an example of monthly payment. And we haven't chosen the credit app yet. We haven't chosen the lender yet. It's just an example of payment. And you just say to them, we haven't run your credit, but this is an example of payment, what it could be. And it's the same as going to a store and being offered cash, credit, or you know, another payment option. If we are not deploying this payment option as many times as possible, then we're hurting the patient getting the treatment, and we're hurting ourselves by doing the most treatment we can do. And one place where docs really kind of struggle with this is one of the deciding factors they use to decide if they should finance or not is the doc or the office manager starts to prejudge what this person should do, and they become a financial advocate for that. It's not your job. Their job is to offer them all payment modes and let them make an adult decision, because that 17% interest rate for 48 months on care credit or whatever lender it is, that might be the only way this person can get to the dental care. That might be the only option they have. So by not offering it consistently, you are hurting the clinical health of those patients, 100%. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, financing is big at our general office, but it's huge at our implant office. I haven't actually looked at the data, so I can't tell you with certainty,
I talked to a lender yesterday who works with your implant office, actually, and you came up. Okay. And we were talking about our practices and our population and total loan value. And we were talking about something, and they said Andrew Vallow's implant practice might have the most total loan values out of everyone in the energized population who works with both companies. So I'll tell you that your practice 100% does a lot of lending.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was about to say is I haven't actually looked at the data, but I would guess that financing is probably somewhere in the ballpark of 50% of our patients there.
I bet it's more.
It could be. So, I mean, think about that, guys. If I didn't believe in financing, I didn't want to offer it, I didn't want to lose out on the merchant fees and things like that, my office might be doing 50% of what it is. How crazy is that? I mean, it's so anyways, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there just so you guys realize how powerful it can be to give patients these options. Now, you know, that said, okay, maybe not all of the 50% would have not moved forward with treatment had we not had that option, but I bet a large portion of them wouldn't have. Some things to think about, I guess. First of all, I get a lot of feedback from dentists. Oh, I don't like the merchant fees that the financing companies charge me, or I'm worried that patients are going to combine financing with dental insurance. Like, do you not offer it to patients if they're using dental insurance? I'll tell you what, like, we don't have any rules for that. No. Financing is available to everybody. Here's what I will say, though. I will say that patients that have dental insurance use financing a lot less than patients that don't. So, like, yes, there are those circumstances where the patient has insurance. We have write-offs from the insurance. The patient's using financing for their patient portion. We have, you know, the merchant fee from that. So in those cases, like, yeah, maybe things are a little bit less profitable for us. We got less money coming in. But at the end of the day, guys, unless you're a practice where all of your chairs are booked solid all the time and you've got no room for other patients, like, you shouldn't be worried about losing out on a 7% merchant fee here or 10% merchant fee there. You should just be happy to get more treatment in the chair, because your practice is going to be more profitable the more dentistry you do, even if you do some of it with a little bit less reimbursement.
And that thinking of, so I have a dentist that's really close to me. I won't say who it is. He's really close to me personally. And he always goes to those things. Oh, man, that merchant fee is high though, right? And he goes, I'd rather not pay the merchant fee. Well, part of the problem with that psychology is you're also assuming that they're going to get the treatment without the financing.
Right.
So what you're saying is, you're saying that I'd rather do the treatment and not have the financing involved.
Right.
But the patient's probably never, the financing gets them to the treatment. That scenario is what you're really saying is, I would rather have no money than give 7% or 10% to this finance company. And honestly, part of the problem is docs actually aren't familiar enough with the financing products. So CareCredit, for example, if you go past 12 months for 0%, oh, the merchant fee is sky high. But if you go over to the interest bearing side, where the patient pays the interest, it's the same merchant fee as the 12-month and 6-month 0%.
Yep.
It's not 10%. Yep. But docs in their head go, yep, it's all 10%. And yep, and docs, list the deal, guys. You are the clinical leader in the practice. One of the problems you guys have is you guys place the manager as being the business leader. That's wrong. You're the business leader. The manager is your business executor. And I'll tell you a scenario where this hurt a doc with financing. I was at a practice out west. I was closing. And they pulled up CareCredit, and all that would come up was 0% for 12 months and 6 months. And I was like, where's the 36-month option? Where's the 48-month option? And the manager turned to me and said, oh, doc doesn't do that. We don't charge our patients that kind of interest, she said. I was like, oh, you don't? I was like, what if this is the only way this person can get their mouth redone? Then what? So I went to doc. I said, doc, I want to offer 36 months interest bearing to this patient. Doc looked at me and goes, does CareCredit do that? I was like, it goes out to 60 months. He goes, no, it doesn't. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. He's like, why aren't we doing that? And he went to the office manager and she's like, well, I was like, you told me doc didn't allow it. What you're saying is you don't allow it. Guys, you have to be familiar. This is such a mode of payment. You have to be familiar as the doc. Like, just know the basics and fundamentals of this. So when you're navigating your staff and the patient, you know how to navigate this and you understand what's going on around you, because that doc really believed CareCredit didn't offer anything but 0% for 6 and 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, guys, we had an episode recently about lowering barriers to treatment acceptance. And, you know, in that episode, we focused more on treatment presentation, creating value, creating urgency, which are all super important. But I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, there are a lot of patients out there that want to get their treatment done, that like you, that love your office. And the only thing standing in the way of them getting their treatment done is money. You know, they don't have it. They've got other things that they need to spend it on. By not offering financing options, you know, you really are restricting your patient base as far as who can and can't get treatment. And what, that's not good for anybody. I mean, obviously, as healthcare professionals, like, we want our patients to be able to get the treatment that they need and that they want. And as a dental practice, we want to do more treatments. I mean, the more treatment we're doing, the better the office is doing. And again, I get it. I understand we want to be as profitable as possible. But I'll tell you what, as Matt mentioned earlier, you can't just assume that you have the option of doing that same treatment without the financing fee, because a lot of times
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So it's not. You're saying I want to avoid this merchant fee and basically not help my patient. Yep. And not get the revenue out of my shit, because it's true. 90% of Americans are payment buyers. If you remove that option because of a merchant fee, what's happening is you're saying, I don't care about your preferred buying method.
Well, and it's becoming more and more prevalent in our society. You know, I mentioned earlier how I'm quick to jump on financing something, especially if there's great terms on it. We bought a mattress a couple of years ago. And they offered, it was either like 0 or 1.9% interest. It was basically free money, whatever it was. Yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, I could have easily just given my credit card for this, but like, why not? I'm paying $200 a month for my mattress. That sounds way better. So, you know, guys, just realize that our society has been going towards it. There's so many platforms that run on monthly payments.
You go on Amazon to buy a product almost of any price, and Amazon offers you a click. A monthly payment option.
Right.
Like, so, like, I just bought something. I just bought a couch off Amazon. A little seating area for our bedroom, and like, it was only like $700, and it was like, or you could pay $40 a month.
Yeah,
like, it was right there in the checkout process.
Yep. So, you know, what are some like target numbers for the amount of the monthly payments? I would say for less involved cases, you know, obviously when you're doing big implant cases, full mouth rehabs, that's tough. But like, for less involved cases, if you can offer them a payment option that's less than $100 a month, that's almost a no-brainer for people. Oh, this is $80 a month. Okay, like, no problem.
They don't care about the interest, because no one cares about interest on $60.
Right. So that's really helpful. I mean, if you're offering them a lower amount and you can offer them a longer time period and it gets them under $100 a month, I mean, that's usually a pretty easy sell. For, you know, bigger cases, if possible, it's nice to keep it under a typical car payment, because I feel like people have anchors in their mind. So, you know, they're comparing these monthly payments to other things. You know, they've got their monthly mortgage payment, they've got their monthly car payment. If you can try to keep, you know, it under that monthly car payment, maybe $199 a month, $250 a month, $299 a month, those are good. You know, unfortunately, again, some of the bigger cases, we can't do that. Although we just started looking into, and I'm not going to talk about them yet because we haven't even signed on, but we just started looking into a company that supposedly will give up to 10 years at $50,000 for loans for implants. So if that works out, you know,
I need to know about that.
Yes. Yep. I'm not even the one looking into it. So that's why I don't want to give you guys wrong information, yeah, but
I want to know about it. I'm looking into it.
If we sign on with them, we start using them, I will definitely make you guys aware. So like, what financing options are we using right now? At my general offices, we've got Cherry is kind of our big one for both offices. We love Cherry.
I think Cherry is a fast grower in the market. I think Cherry might be the best lending option for like 70% of scenarios right now.
The reasons I like Cherry, they've got a quick application, pre-approval, soft credit check, all that stuff, high approval rates. I don't know if they specifically consider themselves subprime, but they definitely do approve
they dislike when they're referred to that way. They're not subprime. They are, we want to service as many patients as possible prime.
Okay.
What that's kind of their attitude is, like, we do giant cases and stellar credit, and we do medium cases and we do credit challenged. We want to be the one application that you want. That's
I think that's it. So I think you're right, Matt. I think for patients that have worse credit, we can often get approvals. They just, you know, won't get as much money. But either way, I mean, that can still be helpful for, you know, some smaller cases and things like that. But that's one of our go-to options for both offices. We also have Sunbit at both offices. They do consider themselves subprime lending. The cool thing is patients can combine the different financing options. So a lot of times
people never think about that. You can get two approvals and put them together.
Yep. So like, let's say someone applies with Cherry and they get, $1,500 and they needed $4,000. A lot of times then we'll apply for Sunbit, and sometimes Sunbit will come up with a difference, or at least close enough to it. Then the patient can pay the rest out of the pocket. So you got to get creative. Sometimes we use United Medical Credit as another option at our implant office. That one's been pretty solid as well. They also, I believe, do some subprime lending. And then we do have Care Credit at both offices. Honestly, Care Credit is the one we use the least. However, I like to have it because there are a number of patients who come in
People
who
come in
already
with the credit
have
card.
CareCredit. So if someone's coming in, they're like, "Oh, I've got 10,000 in CareCredit. Can I use it here?" And you say no, but you can apply for other options. There's a good chance they're like, "Ah, no, like that's okay." So I recommend taking CareCredit, even though we don't use it nearly as much as these other options, because that's the one that patients are most likely to come in the door having already have some of that available. So.
So a lot of times too, guys, I have to navigate the staff side of this, the front lines, right? And let's say 100 new patients hit a chair, hit the office, and they do credit apps for, let's say, a few of them. And they come back and say, man, like most of these people get declined. So there ends up being this, like, the psychology of the front desk of not wanting to offer financing options because they have to deal with the negative emotions of explaining a decline or facing a decline. And what happens is we just do less credit apps. And it's really unhealthy. So what I see happen is they'll say they just stop offering it because they get so many declines. Like, oh, it's not worth doing. Well, if you only do 10 credit apps and only three get approved for $3,000 each, it's 9,000. If you do 30 credit apps and 10 get approved for $3,000 each, it's $30,000. You have to own from the beginning that there's more declines than approvals. It's just the way it is. But the approvals don't increase without the declines.
Well, and it depends on your demographic, depends on your office. So I'll tell you guys, at my general office, it's a lot more likely that someone applying for credit is getting approved, although we
Yes.
actually probably use less, credit there than we do at the implant office. Whereas at the implant office, as I mentioned before, I suspect probably around, if not maybe more than 50% of our implant cases are using some form of financing. However, we have much higher rates of not being approved, disapproved, whatever, so
And on
rejection.
that 50%, Andrew, so I want to be clear about something with the patient behavior. 50% or more of your patients in that practice are using financing from you. The other 50% might be using financing from outside of there that you're not aware of from other sources. So a lot of
Yeah, it's
times
possible.
I'll ask a patient who's paying cash for full mouth restoration, and they'll say, oh, I'm paying cash. I'll be like, how are you sourcing that cash? Is what I'll say. And they'll say, oh, I did a home equity line of credit. I bet you if we looked at 100 implant cases in your practice and we could know what everyone's mode of purchase was, I bet 80% of them are financing either with you or somehow outside of the practice. I
Definitely
think that
pop.
I
There
think a very small percentage are paying the cash out of their bank account.
are patients that come in, get approved, and they're like, "Yeah, interest rates are a little higher than I want. I'm going to try to get an approval from my bank, and we can go from there." So, there are definitely a lot of different options. I've thought about the idea of trying to partner with a bank. I haven't actually gone down that road yet, but I feel like that could be a good idea. And again, if I end up doing that, I'll let you guys, if anyone out there listening has some kind of relationship with a local bank where they finance your patients for dental treatment, please reach out to me. I would love to hear about what you're doing there. You can find me on Facebook or send me an email, docvallodds@gmail.com. But I think that could be another nice avenue to add as well. I'm all about options. So as many options as we can offer our patients to try to help things, try to help their dentistry fit in their budget. I love to do that. I don't do a lot of in-house financing. I don't do
I
any
think
at
it's a
the
sc I think it's a scary thing to do. I don't recommend it.
I don't do any at the implant office. We did when we first opened and we got burned a lot. So, I learned pretty quickly. Unfortunately, the reason why we were doing it more there was because we had more patients not approved for financing. And the reason they weren't approved for financing was because they did not have good track records of paying their bills. And so those are probably not the patients you want to in-house finance. So,
Yeah, and there's a correlation between people need a lot of implant treatment and that scenario, because they
yeah,
did.
well, yeah,
There
that's
is,
there
there
definitely
is.
can be.
Yeah,
So
it's harder financing, but they're bigger cases.
the one place that we do offer in-house financing, and this is one that I actually do recommend, is if you do Invisalign and you want to do more Invisalign and you're not already offering an in-house payment plan, I recommend doing that. The reason why it works for Invisalign and it didn't work for implants, there's a few different reasons, but the main reason is because patients, it's an extended treatment where they have to keep coming back to the office to get more of their aligners. We only give them so many at a time. So if they're not keeping up on their payments, they're not getting more aligners until they make their next payment. So basically,
You control the equity of the loan.
they've already invested in the treatment. You know, most people, once they kind of have some skin in the game, they don't want to waste their money, do it for nothing. They want to finish their Invisalign treatment. So they will continue to make payments. We're a Platinum Plus office. I mean, we do Invisalign for, you know, a couple hundred patients a year. Over the last few years, you know, hundreds and hundreds of patients we've done Invisalign for. I would say 80 to 90% of our patients do our in-house financing option. It's $395 down, $400 a month. It used to be higher down payment, higher monthly payments. And I realized it was too big of a barrier for patients. Every time I lowered the monthly payments and the down payment, our Invisalign acceptance rate went up. So, you know, this is the most Invisalign that, you know, we've ever done. We're hoping to actually hit diamond status next year. And I think our in-house payment option is a big reason for that. Of these hundreds and hundreds of patients, I can probably count on one hand the number who are truly delinquent, who just didn't pay us. And I'll tell you what, Align as a company, they've been able to work with me on those. And if you do a lot of Invisalign and you have a patient here or there, and I don't know if they want me saying this, but if you do a lot of Invisalign, you have a patient here or there that goes delinquent and just ghosts you and stops paying, they've been able to work with me and reimburse my lab bills. So there's basically no risk at that point in time. There have been some cases where patients kind of fall off the map for a few months and we do credit card authorization. All of a sudden their credit card stops working. But I'll tell you what, almost every single time they eventually come back in, sorry, life got in the way. This happened, that happened. I want to pick up my treatment. You know, I'm ready to make my payments, get back on track, things like that. So that is the one area where I think in-house financing makes sense for just about any office.
It's the only area that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Is ortho. It's because you control the equity of the loan. You know, I had a practice start doing in-house financing and it scared me. I told the doc it scared me because you're trying to take these assistants and these front desk people and almost turn them into loan underwriters because you're trying to get them to say, well, if it's a good patient, yeah, we'll do in-house financing. Well, what's the definition of a good patient? Well, they started doing it for like dentures and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were doing like $200 down, a couple hundred dollars a month. And all of a sudden you're fronting the lab fees, which is really dangerous.
Yeah.
At least with Invisalign, you're not giving them the whole product. You're giving the product as they go, and really what you're saying is honestly a fundamental part of the ortho business model for decades is pay as you go. It's been proven. If you're doing ortho, pay as you go is the way.
Yeah.
It is the way. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you're an Invisalign practice and you think someone's going to pay you $5,000 up front for Invisalign, that's the only mode of payment, you are never going to do a lot of Invisalign. Yeah. You need financing options and you pay as you go.
And it's just
the way it is.
Even with our monthly payments, we do have patients that do traditional financing. And the reason for that is because some people, 400 months a lot. And I mean, I get that. So, you know, with traditional financing, Invisalign can be like $99 a month. And that's a lot easier to stomach. So actually one of those credit things the financing applications that I saw earlier that came through on my phone today, it was someone that had locked in Invisalign today and they paid it off in full with financing. So I think it's great to have multiple options there for Invisalign. For those wondering, for our in-house payment plan, we don't run any credit checks. Anyone's eligible for it. We take the $395 deposit when they basically commit to doing Invisalign. That's when we take their, you know, Invisalign scan and photos and all that. I'll start working on their lab case. By the time they come, typically it takes about a month for me to plan out and order their lab case and get it shipped to us. So by the time they come back for their Invisalign delivery appointment, typically they've made their second monthly payment. You know, we just basically have them on that monthly credit card auto payments or whatever. So at that point in time, they basically paid like $800 of our lab bills, about $1,200 is Platinum Plus. So they basically paid like $800 of the $1,200 lab bill. At that point, I feel pretty comfortable that, you know, they're invested enough. They're going to, you know, they've almost spent a grand. They're going to continue to pay down their Invisalign and finish the treatment. And again, worst case scenario, someone ghosts us. Usually you can work with your Invisalign rep there. So,
yeah, to get down to it, like, I'll say that if someone asked me, like, what are the number one failure points in how financing is offered? And it really starts with, are you showing an example of monthly payment? Because the reason why it's working so well for Invisalign is, Americans just think in like monthly budgets is how we think. And you're literally showing them, like, this is how it affects your monthly budget. And you can say yes right now. And they say yes. And it really is, you have a strong understanding of the consumer's preferred buying habit. as where a lot of times we think that they'll ask for it or they'll initiate it. They're never going to. We have to offer that example visually. It's not just saying it. It's showing the case value, showing the payment visually, and asking them, which way do you prefer? Do you prefer pay in full or pay do this? 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, I'd rather use someone else's money than use my own. Why would, yep. Especially guys, listen, this episode's coming out in January of 2024. In November of this year and into early December, interest rates hit 8.5%. Patients are trying to hold on to every dollar right now. If you're not offering monthly payment options, you're not going to be doing as much business. I had a doc a couple years ago, actually owner of a pretty big DSO. I won't say any details. We're in a meeting with him, and he said to us, it's proven that practices that offer too much financing collect less money. And me and Ryan were there, and I was like, whoa, that doesn't make sense. And the opposite is actually true. So we work really closely with DI, and I will tell you that. Dental intelligence. I work really closely sharing data with them. My company is in their top three biggest partners, I think, right now or something like that. And, you know, it's actually the opposite. The practices that offer financing actually collect more money. And I have docs that come to me and they can't afford my services yet. And they're maybe a startup, just maybe they're doing 50K a month. They just can't get to where I'm at yet. I say, hey, listen, really simple. I'm going to give you two words of advice that should move you 10 to 20 grand a month. Like, all right, cool. Like, one, you have to have a practice membership program for people without insurance. It's going to help with the fee-for-service retainability. Two, offer an example of monthly payment when you're presenting treatment always. It's a habit. It's a daily thing no matter what. And you'll do more credit apps, and you'll actually get more money up front than you would, and your revenue will grow instantly. I promise you guys, if you do that, your revenue, you will see a collection spike. If you just routinely show an example of monthly payment, and you try to get as many credit apps done as possible. Because of the deal, if somebody gets approved for credit, they never say no once they're approved. And more approvals are going to equal more collections.
Another thing I want to talk about real quick, guys, before we wrap things up on this episode, is when and where they should be applying for financing. So
really good subject, yeah.
I've talked to a lot of docs who, and actually I've had to work with some of my teams on this too, because sometimes, you know, things don't always happen as we want them to. But there's a lot of situations where the patient is sent home with like a link and told to apply for financing at home, or the patient says, I'll apply at home, or whatever it is. Guys, a couple things. First of all, patient is a lot less likely to actually apply once they leave the office.
Oh, they're not going to at all.
Even if they apply and they get approved, then they may or may not come back and do treatment. If they're approved in office, how easy is it then, as Matt said, to get that yes to treatment and schedule the treatment and collect that financing, all that stuff, versus they get approved at home? Now, even if they are going to say yes, now your team's got to follow up with them. It's adding more work. Other thing, if you have multiple options, they may only apply for one at home. They get denied for the first one, they might be done. So the goal should always be to encourage your patients to apply for financing while they're in the office. If they want or need a financing option, you know, they don't want to pay cash, they're there, have somebody help them, you know, be like, oh, hey, like, let me help you do that. It'll be easy. It'll only take a couple minutes. I can walk you through the process. If you get approved, we can schedule your treatment right now and then. So like, especially at our implant office, we have a free consultation model where essentially every single new patient coming in the door is a free consultation. The goal of every free consultation is, you know, hey, that patient's not leaving until we have exhausted all options. We've, you know, offered discounts to try to encourage them to move forward same day. We've offered and encouraged them to apply for different financing options. So like, if that patient leaves without scheduling treatment that day, we should have at least given them every option we have available, try to lower the barriers, yes, as much as possible. Because once they leave, it's a lot tougher to get them back in. So your best chance of getting a yes to that treatment is while they're there at the office for that visit, that consultation, you know, that new patient exam, whatever it is. So
also, your case presenter should know how to navigate those applications better than the patient does.
Oh yeah.
So it's actually a disservice to the patient to let them leave and do it on their own.
Yep.
I'm going to give a scenario if that were happened. I was in Oklahoma and they did the credit app and the patient got declined. I said, can I see the credit app? and income it said zero. And I looked at the guy who the car drove in, and I'm like, zero? And I went in, I said, hey, sir, you know, it's on the credit app. You put income is zero. He's like, yeah, I don't work. I don't have a job. I'm like, how do you pay for life? And I happen to know, because I'm a fully disabled veteran, he said, well, I'm a fully disabled veteran. I have VA benefits. I'm like, you make $3,500 a month untaxed. He goes, yeah, but it's not really income. It's a benefit. I'm like, it's income. Let's redo the credit app. We redoed it. It got approved. Yep. He didn't get approved because he perceived he didn't have income.
Yep.
Right? And he filled out the app wrong.
Yep.
Like, your staff needs to sit with them and fill out the app. My opinion is this. Your staff should actually pre-fill out name, address, phone number, all that stuff, and give them the iPad or give them the paper app and say social security number and sign, because you can do it faster than they can.
No, you're right. I think that's a good point, is that, you know, you should encourage your patients to think about any income they have, you know, and not just traditional income, you know, from one job or whatever. So I think that can make a big difference as well. And any money they have coming into them, you know, normally on a yearly basis, they should be putting down, because it's more likely they'll get approved at that point in time. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was probably about it from the finance. Anything else you had for them today, Matt?
No, just to end it, you know, docs, if you're wondering how good of a job your staff is doing, right, what I recommend is going and counting all the credit apps for a month, then looking at the amount of new patient population that comes in. If the percentage of credit apps is very small to new patient population, I can tell you for sure credit's not being offered properly. It's a great indicator to look at. And then after that, make sure you have three really solid lenders, one being subprime. Make sure your staff has a solid understanding of what credit apps to use when. And then you have a solid understanding of what you're getting charged for what, because the staff will inadvertently steer the process towards the path of least resistance for the uncomfortable conversations, when you need to steer the process towards patient accessibility, which the two sometimes don't meet. And sometimes they feel weird about offering 60 months at 17.5% interest rate from Care Credit, but that's not their choice. That's the patient's choice, right? So just some basic fundamentals, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm Matthew Brown. This is Dr. Andrew Vallo. This has been Dental Unfiltered. Do you have anything you want to close with, Andrew, before we sign off?
No, I mean, I'll recap real quick, you know, we talked about, because I always like to do that. So, you know, guys, when it comes to financing, you want to have multiple options, not just one. You want to have Care Credit, because that's the one that most patients, or the majority of patients, may come in already having. But you want to have some other great options, some subprime options. You know, we personally use Cherry, Sunbit, United Medical Credit. You want to offer it to everybody. You can't just assume who does and doesn't need it. And again, it's not just whether they need it. Sometimes it's just if they want it or not. Don't let fear of merchant fees, you know, detract you from offering financing. Because again, unless your chairs are full all the time, you've got more room for treatment. It's much better off paying a 5, 7, even 10% merchant fee and getting more treatment in your chair. And there's a lot of patients that won't do treatment otherwise. Make sure that you are encouraging patients to apply in the office. And as Matt said, your treatment coordinator or whoever's presenting treatment should be well-versed in these financing apps and be able to actually help the patients fill them out. Make sure that they're filling them out in office and not leaving, coming back. Invisalign, that's the one in-house I recommend. So we got burned trying to do in-house financing for our implant office. I probably won't ever do that again at the implant offices. But Invisalign, it works well. We've had very few issues with it, and we do a lot more Invisalign because of it. If you've got something like ortho where the patient has to keep coming back for treatment, it's a lot easier to do in-house financing versus something that they do in one or two appointments and they're done, because then it's very easy for them to just disappear and stop making those payments. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And again, we're all about lowering barriers to get more treatment acceptance. If you didn't listen to our other episode about treatment acceptance that just aired recently, go back and listen to that. That was another good one. And thank you guys for listening to Dental Unfiltered. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
All right, thank you guys so much for joining us. Have a great day.